Next on NPR's From the Top.
I believe you, Marika, have the starring role in this magnum opus entitled Scenes from the Life of a Drama Queen.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today from Call Auditorium on the campus of Reed College in Portland, Oregon, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes a teenage violinist from here in Portland performing Beethoven, a 15-year-old flutist from Ohio performing Prokofiev, and as you just heard, we'll present a little biographical radio drama dedicated to the young pianist on today's show. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. What can I tell you? I'm relaxed, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm caffeinated, I'm in Portland. The only city in America where, when they give you attitude, it's a smile. I want to sincerely thank our hosts, Chamber Music Northwest, for bringing us to this very civilized and crazy place. Joanne mentioned some of the young performers on today's show, but in addition to our normal proceedings, we have a special treat lined up for the end of the show, when a slightly older performer will join us. He's the clarinet virtuoso David Schifrin, a musician equally celebrated for his amazing solo performances as he is for his dedication to chamber music. He's also, of course, the artistic director of Chamber Music Northwest. David will play one of the most beloved movements of Mozart, the opening movement of the quintet for clarinet and strings, with four amazing teenage musicians from here in the Portland area. And one of those local teenagers David will play with is here on stage with me right now, ready to open the program with a great movement of Beethoven. Please welcome 17-year-old violinist Becky Anderson. Becky, welcome. Normally when we're putting the show together, I'm concerned that my accompaniment matches what each guest is used to. But for you, Becky, and this piece, that's not really the issue, is it?
No, we're playing a sonata together, which is really chamber music. It's a duet between two instruments. So it's an equal partnership between the piano and the violin. And it's a lot of fun for me to play with different pianists because every time I play with someone different, it reshapes how I think of the piece.
Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed our mutual influence. Tell everybody what we're going to play together.
We're going to be playing the Allegro movement from Beethoven's Sonata No. 8 in G major.
Let's take it from the top. Thank you. Becky Anderson, 17-year-old violinist from here in Portland. You know, Beethoven said that the best thing in the world besides love is surprise. And it was so nice to have you bringing both to that wonderful performance, poise and shock and drama. A real pleasure playing that with you. You've been a participant in the Young Artist Fellowship Program of Chamber Music Northwest. Tell us what goes on in the program. What do you do?
Well, it's a wonderful program that gives local students like myself a chance to work with some of the incredible artists that Chamber Music Northwest brings to Portland every year, especially during the summer for their summer festival. As a young artist, I got to go to all the concerts during the year, attend rehearsals, work in master classes with some of the artists, and actually I was able to perform with some of them as well.
It's a great, great program, very exciting to be in, I imagine. So you're a wonderful violinist, but originally choosing the violin, I guess that wasn't your idea?
No, actually it was my brother's idea at first. He's a year and a half older than me, and when he was five, he decided he wanted to play the violin, and when I was that age, I decided I wanted to do everything that my brother did, so I decided to play violin too.
Right, well, so we have your brother Aaron to thank for that wonderful decision. Well, so was it a competitive thing or an emulative thing, or are you really close as friends? Or?
We're very close. We have very similar interests, but our priorities in those interests are different, so we sort of balance each other out.
It's nice to have a best friend as a brother. So you must feel sort of lonely these days. I guess he's away at college?
Yeah, he's a freshman this year, or just finished his freshman year.
Where is he now?
He's at Cornell University.
Oh, nice place to go to school. Well, as we've been talking, 16-year-old roving reporter Emily Mayer, a girl with three siblings of her own, has joined us at the microphones. Emily, you're going to pursue this close sibling relationship, aren't you?
Absolutely. You know, Chris, I'm close to my brother and sisters, too. We have an understanding. I'm the oldest, they do what I say, or I pummel them. So you see, I've been asking myself, Becky, can you really be that close to your brother? Can he really be your best friend? Well, as the investigative roving reporter I am, I talked to Aaron myself and came up with this little quiz to test how close you really are. Do you think you know him?
Pretty sure.
Okay. Answer this. Your brother Aaron plays the viola. What was his all-time favorite piece of chamber music in high school?
The Brahms sextets.
Let's hear what Aaron had to say.
Definitely my favorite pieces were the Brahms string sextets, number one and two. And actually, I played them with Becky, which was, you know, a great treat because we really connect well together when we play. They're just so lyrical and romantic. Just kind of unmatched in their beauty.
All right, this is our next question. We'll see if you were just lucky the first time. We'll change the subject. We're on to sports now. Running. What was Aaron's PR time, that's personal record time, for the 3K his sophomore year?
That's tough. Gosh.
8 minutes and 56 seconds.
Are you sure you don't want a multiple choice?
I'm pretty sure about that.
All right, let's hear what Aaron had to say then.
My PR time in the 3,000 for my sophomore year was 8:55. And Becky, you should know this because I know all of your PRs from high school. You're 4:56, 1500, and you're 2:24, 800. But I guess I'm the running geek. You're the music geek, so you probably remember what I played in sixth grade for my viola recital.
Well, if it makes you feel better, they were both choices on the multiple choice, so it wouldn't have helped much.
I take it that running is a huge part of both of your lives, yes?
Yeah, I ran on the cross-country and track teams in my high school through halfway through junior year, and I still run on my own, just not on the team anymore because of time.
Well, this is our last question, so it's your last shot to get it right. In the eighth grade, at a rehearsal of the Portland Youth Philharmonic, how did Aaron's stand partner get a nosebleed?
Aaron bent down to pick up a piece of music on the floor, and he was holding his bow in such a way that when he stood up, the tip of his bow went up his stand partner's nose.
Now that seems just a little far-fetched, so let's hear what Aaron had to say.
I knocked a piece of music off my stand, and I bent down to grab it, and I was holding my viola and my bow in my left hand, right next to my stand partner, Matthew, and I bent down to pick up the music, and as I was coming up, my bow suddenly stopped, and I looked up, and it was sticking straight up my stand partner's nose, and kind of squealed in pain a little bit, and then started bleeding.
Brings whole new meaning to the term violin sonata. Back.
Well, I guess I'm convinced. You do know your brother pretty well.
I'd say, I absolutely agree. I mean, obviously, to know all this arcana about your brother's life, I mean, the two of you are just so close, and it's so wonderful to hear about that. And Emily, thank you so much for your excellent investigative work.
You're welcome, Chris. And Becky, I think your brother's really lucky to have a sister like you.
And we're lucky to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us, Becky.
Thank you.
Bravo. Becky Anderson, 17-year-old violinist from here in Portland.
Listen to From the Top on demand and watch exclusive videos at fromthetop.npr.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Now, we don't get a lot of harpists on our show, and we don't get a lot of boy harpists, and we certainly don't get a lot of boy harpists from Reno, and it's even rarer that we get a boy harpist from Reno who is absolutely superb. Everybody, please welcome 15-year-old Jeremy Keppelman. Jeremy, welcome to the program. I imagine there's a booming market in Reno for harpists, those quickie wedding chapels. Probably have to, you probably know Love Me Tender on the harp better than anybody, right? No? You mark my words, young man, you're going to need that. The piece you're going to play really shows what the harp can do. Will you please introduce it?
I'm going to play The Carnival of Venice by William Posse.
Well, we're going to turn this whole audience into a posse. The stage is yours. Thank you.
Jeremy Keppelman, 15-year-old harpist from Reno, Nevada. I get it. So that is how the harp is supposed to be played. Just immensely authoritative and definitive, the way you have a command of the instrument, Jeremy. It's really extraordinary. An enormously, just a flashy piece, too. I mean, our radio listeners will have to imagine this, but the visual element of this work is just astonishing.
Yes, that's right. The composer is actually a harpist. However, he's written techniques that are ridiculously hard, that don't change the sound, but they look cool. And they're very difficult for the musician to play, but for the people in the audience, it's fun to watch.
Looking cool is everything. Absolutely. I agree with you. Certainly got it down. I mean, obviously tenacious, almost to a fault. Actually, this story I heard of you playing with the Reno Philharmonic sounds more to me like a boxer trying to stay in the ring than a kid playing the harp.
Well, the story about when I played with the Reno Philharmonic is that for a year beforehand, I had developed severe tendonitis. I was in France practicing for a very prestigious international competition. And when I came back after the summer, I had severe tendonitis. And I knew for a year I was going to play with that orchestra. And I didn't want to tell them that I had tendonitis because I really wanted to play. And so what we had to do is that right before, while I was in the car, I put hot pads on my arms. And then as soon as I was done, my arms were burning. So my dad rushed to the nearest 7-Eleven to get some buckets of ice so I could put my arms in and cool them off because they were so hot.
7-Eleven always acts as my personal dressing room before concerts. I have everything you need. The pre-concert Slurpee is an absolute necessity. You had this tendonitis, in both arms or just one?
That's right, both arms.
Both arms for a year. And there's obviously a cure for it. You seem very relaxed at the instrument now. Is it done?
Well, the cure I came across was actually an accident, but I'm so glad that I came across it. In Reno, we're members of Lake Ridge Tennis Club, and there they have a pool. And they have a swim class, and they also have a swim team. But my mom decided to put me in the swim class, not because she thought it would help with tendonitis, just because she wanted me to be a better swimmer. And after starting that for a few weeks, my arms felt better, I felt relaxed, and I got so much stronger. And then they put me on the swim team. And I'm fit, and I feel great at the instrument, and I have no more problems with tendonitis. And I'm a proud member of the Lake Ridge Gold Swim Team in Reno.
Good man. It's great lengthening the muscles. I mean, the swimming is a great, great exercise of therapy, water therapy in general, I think would be great. Really brilliant hearing you play, Jeremy.
Thanks
for being with us.
Thank you.
Jeremy Keppelman, 15-year-old harpist from Reno, Nevada. Our next performer is a 15-year-old flutist we brought out to Oregon from Columbus, Ohio. She's standing next to me on stage now, and her name is Jennifer Itzo. Jennifer, we're playing the scherzo movement of Prokofiev's Sonata in D major. While I go back to the piano, tell everybody, you paint this very colorful and evocative picture, what you see when you play this piece.
Okay, well, my mother and my flute teacher think I'm completely crazy, but when I play this piece, I imagine this very large man dancing in a meadow of flowers. It's beautiful.
That's great, Jennifer. We think you're crazy, too. It's that wonderful combination of delicacy and massivity. It reminds me of the hippopotamus in the tutu does the dance of the flowers in Fantasia. It's a good image. Let's have at it. Thank you. Jennifer Tso, 15-year-old flutist from Columbus, Ohio. Thank you, Kapia. I've got to say, Jennifer, you know, a lot of kids your age play the flute like it's a fashion accessory. There's such focus, such musical focus to your sound, and it's just so wonderful to hear.
Thank you.
You must be very proud. It's just great playing with you. You know, you're one of those Midwestern kids who's wonderfully sweet on the outside, but as you mentioned before, there's some very strange things about you that I think merit some exploration, if you wouldn't mind. First of all, J-Lo has had a huge impact on your life.
Yes, she has. In second grade, I decided to choose an English name, and I looked up to J-Lo a lot then.
Really?
So I stole her name.
So in the school records, the Chinese portion of your name is much longer, I guess.
Yeah. The school has combined my English name and my Chinese name, so it's like Jennifer Jinzo Zouchun. It's very, very long.
It's long, but I like it. But Jade Zo has a nice ring to it. I like that, too. Jennifer, you also claim to be living with the devil. Who's the devil in your life?
He is my little brother. Yeah. So
Damien is his name, I guess, or no?
No, his name is Daniel.
Daniel, well, close. Yeah. I was close. So what's wrong with your little brother? What's so bad about him?
He annoys me so much. Sometimes it's just unconsciously that he does it, but he watches so many random cartoon shows like from Cartoon Network, maybe, and he imitates the noises that they make.
Really? I don't see what's so terrible about that. Another weird thing about you is that you're such an outstanding flutist, but you have the strangest practice philosophy.
I try to get out of practicing every single day.
Just distractions or just flat out refuse to practice, or what goes on?
I just don't want to.
No?
Yeah. My mom bugs me every day that I should pick up the flute and practice, even for a little bit. And it works most of the time.
Well, I'll tell you, it's working like crazy today. We really appreciate the work. It's keep up with it. Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Tso, 15-year-old flutist from Columbus, Ohio.
Right now on FromTheTop.org, see amazing teenage violinist Audrey Wright talk about why a memorable 20-second silence after her performance inspires her to pick up the violin every day. Log on throughout the year for exclusive new videos and more at FromTheTop.org.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from Call Auditorium on the campus of Reed College. Coming up, special guest virtuoso clarinetist David Schifrin joins four local teenage musicians to play a movement from the Mozart Quintet for clarinet and strings. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show in Portland is presented by Chamber Music Northwest in collaboration with the Portland Youth Philharmonic and All Classical 89.9 KBPS, celebrating its 25th year. Today's show is made possible with support from the Willa Kenzie Estate Winery. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Joining me now on stage, a fantastic 17-year-old pianist from New York City, Marika Bournaki. Marika, you live in New York now, but I guess you're not a native New Yorker?
No, I'm not. I'm originally from Montreal, but I moved to New York 3 years ago to pursue my studies with Veda Kaplinsky at Juilliard.
That's great. You're going to play some Bach for us. Tell everybody what it is.
Yes, I'll be playing the Tu Gavotte and the Jig from the third English suite in G minor by Johann Sebastian Bach. Thank you.
Marika Brunacki, 17-year-old pianist from New York City, playing Bach. I love those English suites, and you bring out all the vigor and rusticity of that piece. Just wonderful. Speaking of playing Bach, Glenn Gould is, of course, most famous for his masterful studio interpretations on Bach, and you just played on his piano.
Yes, I did. I played on his piano at the exhibition in Ottawa called Glenn Gould Sounds of a Genius, and I got to play some Chopin and some Bach on his beloved piano. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting experience because I played some Bach, but I played some Chopin, and my Chopin sounded like some Bach.
Why is that? Well, I mean, I guess he did some stuff to the piano?
Yes, Glenn Gould played a lot with his piano. He tweaked it, so the articulation was very detached, so I couldn't play legato on it.
So no Chopin-esque singing on that piano. The only singing that we hear would be from Glenn Gould singing himself, I guess. But that must have been a great experience.
Yes,
wonderful for you. You didn't make a scene, though? I mean, you didn't throw a fit about having to play Chopin on Glenn Gould's piano?
Maybe a little bit, but
you have been known to complain rather dramatically about pianos you don't like.
Yes, I'm a little bit of a drama queen. My dad is always with me when I try new pianos, and I tend to yell at him because I think he's responsible for having me play on a bad piano, but he's not.
What, is he a piano technician? Why are you blaming your dad?
Well, I mean, he should know better. I don't know. Blow out everything out of proportion.
What do you do? I mean, do you yell at him? Do you tell him you're going to cancel?
Yes, I yell. I cry. Threaten? I say I'm going to cancel, but I can't.
Gosh, and before lessons, too.
Yes, before lessons, I get really nervous because I'm afraid my teacher is going to slice my throat. But I survive every time.
You're doing quite well. Well, Marika, the From the Top players are gathering around the mics to present a short dramatization based on your strong but occasionally moody personality and on true stories from your life. We have 16-year-old roving reporter Emily Mayer. Emily will be our narrator. Hello, Emily.
Hello, Chris.
Ready for this? Joanne, of course. And I believe you, Marika, have the starring role in this magnum opus entitled Scenes from the Life of a Drama Queen.
Meet Marika Brunacki. Meet a very young Marika Brunacki attending her first day at school.
Welcome, little Marika. Your daddy says you've started the violin. Can you tell the other boys and girls something about it?
Listen, teacher. I'm not a violinist anymore. I'm a pianist. You hear me? A pianist!
Where that came from, nobody knew. But Marika's dad took the cue. His daughter was definitely going to be a pianist. And soon, she was achieving great things. At the age of 9, Marika was invited to play with the Montreal Symphony.
And guess what? They want you to play Mozart, eh?
Ew! I want to play a rock thing! I hate Mozart! Mozart is for babies!
Now, Marika's zero tolerance for bad pianos is legendary.
This piano stinks. I can't even get a decent staccato out of it.
But Marika, professionals cope with this sort of thing all the time.
No! I can't play this thing. Cancel the concert!
But happily, Marika has learned to channel all that drama. To use her anger to help her play music with more passion and power. And so, our drama queen finds peace with her inner self and now uses her crazy energy to serve the music she so loves.
Thank you, Emily. Joanne, that was wonderful. And Marika, an uncanny portrayal of yourself, I might add. All these things were true, but we were just really just teasing you. And in fact, after you played that concert with the Montreal Symphony, the one where you thought Mozart was for babies, what happened?
I have to say, I think I fell in love with Mozart. I was leading an orchestra, and I, you know, was giving cues to fellow musicians, and I had such a great experience. I just decided I loved Mozart.
It's a good thing, very good thing. Well, the truth is, you never would have done that stupid sketch if you were a real drama queen. You would have requested rewrites and things like that. You're just a fantastic, passionate pianist, and whether it's Bach or Rock 3 or Mozart, we can't wait to hear you play again. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Marika. Thank you so much.
Marika Brunacki, 17-year-old pianist from New York City.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.npr.org. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Now we're putting together four exceptional local teenage string players to perform the Allegro from the Mozart Quintet for Clarinet and Strings with David Schifrin. Becky Anderson, the young violinist who started our show, will be out in a minute, but let's spend a few moments with the other musicians. We have at the mics Brandon Garbeau, 14-year-old violinist, Griffin Gaffney, 17-year-old violist, and Boris Papaduk, 16-year-old cellist. Brandon and Boris are participants in the Chamber Music Northwest Young Artist Fellowship Program. Welcome, gentlemen. Nice to have you on the program. Boris, how did I do with your last name? Papaduk, is all right?
It's good. It's great.
I understand on the run-up to the show, you've experienced all kinds of pronunciations of your Ukrainian name.
There were a few.
Well, you know, we have fellow Oregonian writer Chuck Palahniuk, as you know, so there's a precedent there for correct pronunciations of the Ukrainian names. Very good to have that. You three are also leaders in the string sections in the Portland Youth Philharmonic. Brandon, you are the concertmaster. Griffin, you are the co-principal violist, and Boris, principal cellist. Griffin, as the senior string section leader at 17 years old, how do you feel about Brandon's relative youth as concertmaster?
Well, he's in eighth grade, and he's taller than me.
That's tough to begin with.
It's a little tough. I'm not getting any taller, and he probably is, but actually, it's pretty amazing. You won't find any kid in middle school like him, I bet, in this country. Every Saturday, we do string sectionals, and we have organ symphony coaches come. And our organ symphony coach was in there, and we were talking about bowings, and, oh, how should you do this? And we had some crazy bowing, which might not have been that crazy for a violinist, but he was, why are you doing this ridiculous bowing? And I said, oh, well, because Brandon told me to. And he said, are you really going to let an eighth grader boss you around? So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Because I have to, but I wouldn't take orders from any other person. So,
Brandon, how would you describe your leadership style?
Well, during sectionals, I can be really tough to my section. I know that being tough can get stuff done. And sometimes my section can be rather silly with themselves. So I kind of have to be tough sometimes, but I'm not really mean.
Well, what sorts of things do you get up to? I mean, are you making them play each one in the section by themselves, or what kind of cracking the whip are you doing?
Well, if sometimes it's not up to stuff, I make them play by stand. Last year, I did person by person.
Wow. So pressure is on. Boris, you were saying you admire Griffin's way of bringing his section together.
That's right. Griffin approaches sectionals and his section in general as kind of a viola family. They're all kind of best friends, and even Griffin hosts viola parties. They're at Griffin's house, and they all go over to Griffin's house and watch movies and play games, and Griffin bakes.
Griffin, you bake? What sorts of things do you like to make?
There's method behind the madness, I promise. Well, like Boris said, we're pretty lax. We're the violas, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's always been my philosophy that you can't really be a great section until you're all best friends, and you're not going to work for anyone unless you really like them. So that's kind of how I've approached leading this section, and that involves having viola parties and baking. And I think that there are inherent qualities to food that just kind of bring people together. It's a social thing. So I bake for my section because I love them and because I hope very dearly that it'll make us better in some way.
It's a very sort of positive, managerial, sort of motivational way of bringing
your section together. In the time I've played in PYP, We've never done a stand-by-stand.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, it's time to hear this Mozart you guys have worked so hard on. And you're going to play with David Schifrin. So we should bring Becky Anderson out to flesh out the string sound. She's the former assistant concertmaster of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. So did you guys admire her back then, Griffin? Yeah. Did you? How was she as assistant concertmaster?
I never played under Becky, but she was kind of like the Brandon of her era, the like untouchable kid that's really young and really, really talented.
Brilliant.
So
yeah.
She's definitely an amazing person to work with. Always has something great to say.
God, Brandon's got his own branding in this situation. It's really quite a reputation. Well, as Becky creeps back out on stage, let's also welcome our guest artist, the artistic director of Chamber Music Northwest, our hosts for today's program, the virtuoso clarinetist David Schifrin. David, welcome. It's great to have you on the program. We've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Thank you, Chris, and welcome to you.
Well, thanks for bringing us. It's been a real pleasure being here. I'm curious, what was it like for you rehearsing with these young string players for this piece?
It was like a time machine. In some ways, and energizing and enlightening and just wonderful. They're so talented, and they were so well prepared.
Yeah, it's been beautiful hearing it. Would you say, in your opinion, classical music's future is in good hands with these kids?
Absolutely. Despite what anyone says, whatever you read, whatever you hear, what you guys are doing with From the Top are just proving that it's in really good hands.
Yeah, we love what we do. Well, David, thank you again for having us. And would you officially introduce this movement you're going to play with these outstanding teenage musicians?
One of the great masterpieces of all time, written by Mozart at the ripe old age of early 30s, and the definitive work for clarinet and string quartet, the first movement of the clarinet quintet in A major.
Great. Wonderful way to end our program today. I want to thank all of our great young performers today and thank David Schifrin again, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week, and Quintet, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Caleb John Magoon. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.